There are tons of things that I would love to be. I would love to be a great gardener like my mother. I would love to have the kindness and patience of my friend Blair. I would love to have the pastoral care and the wisdom of my friend Vance. I would really love to have the organizational skills of Natasha or Cindy. I would love to have the voice of an opera star. I would love to be able to speak 7 different languages. I would love for my hair to behave every so often when I spend time on it. I want really very simple things in my life. What is it that you would love to be and do? Some of these things I could be if I studied and worked at it. I could get there eventually, and some of these things I will never be because it's not who God has made me. And I'm really okay with that most of the time. The one thing that I have the ability to be but I struggle with is a disciple. There are some days that I don't really want to be a disciple. There are some days when I am just not up to the task. When I'm at the HEB and the crazy lady in front of me has 3 different transactions and they all have 15 items or less, but she doesn't really know which ones are supposed to go with what. I lose my patience. When I'm supposed to be driving somewhere and my GPS tells me to go one way and I end up going another and I get there much later than I expected. I want to use every bad word I've ever been told in that moment. I get annoyed with people who are unkind and make snap judgments about things they know very little about. Sometimes my patience for the minutiae of a story runs very, very thin. There have been times that I have been in worship and have been far, far away from what's happening in front of me. Even though this has been an important place for me to be, sometimes I'm just not there. I'm just not present to what's happening in front of me. Sometimes I hear an amazing sermon given by a clever pastor, but I am so distracted by the tasks of the week that all I can do is sit in my seat and make a list of all the things I need to be doing. I know you've never done that before, right? This is just me, right? I'm the only one, right? Okay, just wanted to make sure. The thing that I continue to try and remind myself is that I'm human. No one has ever called me Saint Megan, nor is that likely to ever happen in my lifetime. My brothers would be rolling on the floor at this point. It's even very surprising that people have called me Chaplain Megan or Pastor Megan, because I have done nothing to deserve those roles. I have done nothing to get those titles. God might have called me to this particular work, but that does not mean that I have it all figured out. I have some days that I cannot be bothered to stop and pray, and others when I am so awed by the creation that God has given us that I stop multiple times a day. But other days, I cannot be bothered with it. If you have ever been present at the death of someone you loved or someone you knew well, you know the mind-blowing beauty that can be present in that moment. But I also know that my grandmother would blush at the things that we have hurled at God in our grief. Now I know, again, these are just my problems. You've never experienced any of this before, so I'm glad that I'm going to tell you all about this today. What in the world does it look like for me to be a disciple? Every single day, when I feel so inadequate most of the time, what does it look like for me to live that out in my life? What does it look like for us to be an advocate of justice and mercy and patience when most of the time that's running very thin? In the midst of my job and my life and my friends and my family, how am I supposed to live a life of discipleship? How is that supposed to happen for me? And then, how am I supposed to make disciples if I can't even do it myself? Last week, Pastor John preached about hope and the hope that does not fail us. That hope extends to the work that we do in discipleship, the hope that we have in ourselves and in God. The passage today is known as the Great Commission. It is the mission statement of the United Methodist Church. The mission of the church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. It's a pretty lofty goal, isn't it? So this passage happens after the resurrection. The disciples are told that Jesus has gone ahead of them to Galilee, and that's where he will meet them. Verse 16, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Ah, I love that. I love that it says that some doubted, because you know what? As we sit here today in this room, we have doubts. We have doubts about what we do here. We have doubts about my qualifications to tell you what to do with your life, which are many, actually. We have doubts about this book that we're given that's supposed to tell us about how to live and who we are and how to treat other people. We have doubts about those things. But the truth is that it's okay to have doubts about that. Again, the disciples spend all this time with Jesus. They see him dusty, they see him dirty, they see him doing miracles, they see him crucified, they see him resurrected, and they still have doubts. Doesn't that give you hope? That you're not the only one? Stanley Hauerwas says, the 11 disciples go to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw Jesus, they worshiped him. They had previously worshiped him after he had walked on water, but now they worship him as one who has returned to life. But some doubt. Again, we see Matthew's absolute candor. There is nothing to hide. Even after the resurrection, some of Jesus' disciples doubted. Matthew does not tell us from where their doubts come. But one doubts that they doubted that he was raised. Rather, their doubt regarded their ability to obey and follow Jesus. They have not forgotten that they had deserted him. Their doubts come from their ability to follow Jesus. Not because of who he was or what he had done, but because of their own doubts. Whatever the nature of the resurrection event, it did not generate perfect faith even in those that experienced it firsthand. It is not to angels or to perfect believers, but to the worshiping, wavering community of disciples to whom the world mission is entrusted. It is not to perfect believers, but to the worshiping, wavering group. That's us. Verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Again, I am with you always. Not only does the passage say, I'm with you always, but it doesn't say, get out of here. Go on, get out of here. It says, I am with you. And that's pretty comforting for me. He doesn't say, get out of here. and don't let an avalanche hit you on the way down. He says, I am with you. Jesus reminds us who he is and where he's going with us. Hauerwas continues, the disciples are to remember that the mission to on which Jesus sends them is not one they go alone. He is the resurrected Lord who will always be with those entrusted to witness to him and his work. He was in the beginning, which means that he can promise to be at the end of the age. When I was in seminary, I remember going through the Gospels and thinking, these idiots, they had Jesus with them the whole time and they still can't get it figured out. And now it is even more comforting to know that, because that's how I feel most of the time too. And I'm not the only one. When we meet these disciples, they are just as lost as we feel some of the time. Maybe they felt different. Maybe they thought there was something better for them than this. Maybe they worried they'd be found out as fake. Maybe they thought they weren't a good enough person like these other people. Maybe they caught themselves comparing to others. Everyone else has this together. What about me? Everyone else understood. So the question becomes, how in the midst of our humanness can we be disciples? In the midst of our lack of patience and our ability to overlook God's creation, our struggles with grace and peace, how are we to be disciples? Here's the thing I want you to remember. Working to fulfill the Great Commission and making disciples and being disciples ourselves isn't about having it all figured out in the moment. It isn't about knowing all the answers or have done all the work on your doubts and flaws. The discipleship thing is a lifelong journey toward God and our relationship with God. It's about recognizing our humanness and knowing that God's unconditional love flows through us. It's about getting up every day and knowing that we have that love, even when we feel the most unworthy, the most undeserving, and the most alone. It's not about having all the godly play stories memorized. It isn't about knowing all the Bible passages or even the books of the Bible in order. It isn't about the ability to pray on the spot, and it sure is not about how perfect we can present ourselves to others. The Great Commission isn't just for your pastors that stand up here and lead you in worship, or visit you in the hospital, or laugh with you at a potluck. It is for all of us, every single one of us. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ. How is it that we incorporate all of our faith and our call to discipleship? In Lee Camp's book, Mere Discipleship, he says, Jesus of Nazareth, the gospel accounts relate, always comes asking disciples to follow him. Not merely to accept him, not merely to believe in him, and not merely to worship him, but to follow him. One either follows Christ or one does not. And we make that choice to follow, and our whole lives change. Shane Claiborne says, then I met Jesus and he wrecked my life. The more I read the gospel, the more it messed me up, turning everything I believed in, valued, and hoped for upside down. I am still recovering from that conversion. Jesus wrecked my life. Should we make t-shirts? No? Okay. There is no compartmentalization of the faith, no realm, no sphere, no business, no politic in which the lordship of Christ will be excluded. We either make him Lord of all lords or we deny him Lord of any. So we've established that this isn't really about perfection. It's not about knowing all the things or having all of your doubts figured out. The truth is that even though I struggle with being a disciple, I still want to be one. I still want that life for myself. But I have doubts, just like Hauerwas said, about my ability to do this work. I know that I have the ability to do the work that God has called me to be, But I have to remind myself that that's a commitment every single day. To not yell at the lady at HEB who's in front of me, or at my GPS. If God can call me to do this work here, then God can call any of you exactly where you are, doing the work you're already doing. God is calling you. We are not limited by our group here. God doesn't call us in spite of our brokenness. It's because we are broken that God wants us and shapes us into the disciples that we are supposed to be. Comparison is the thief of joy. When we are constantly comparing ourselves to others and how much faith they might have or how much they might know, it steals our joy. I don't have it figured out as much as someone else, but I still want to be a great gardener, and I still want to have the voice of an opera star, and oh my gosh, do I want my hair to behave. But the thing is, I know that some of these things are not going to happen, but I know what God has called me to do and to be. We struggle with being a disciple every day because we feel like it's so much more than we are capable of, so much more than we are. The person that we hope to be, but it's not about that. It's not about your flaws and your doubts. It's about who God has made you to be. The comforting thing is the disciples were just as flawed and confused as you and I. They absolutely didn't have it together, but look at what they were able to accomplish. The lives they changed, the work that they did. The truth is there are a lot of things that I would like to be, but God has made me for this time. And this place, and this work. God made me to stand up here and tell you that I'm just as broken and flawed and full of doubts as you are, because that's how we do this together. We're honest with each other about where we're going and where we've been. And I know the power of saying, me too. Me too, I struggle with these things. Me too, I sometimes doubt that God is with me. Me too. I wonder if I am good enough for any of this. Me too. I worry that I'm doing this all wrong. Me too. My hope is that you walk out of here with the knowledge that God walks with you, that you don't have to be perfect to do this work, and that God is working on you right now, wherever you are. I want you to remember the joy of the unconditional love of God. Because we can do so much more when we face what we are and what we're not. When we lift each other up in the midst of our flaws. My job here is to love you and to encourage you on your path to discipleship as I do the same thing. And to be honest with you about what we do here together. You know, because some days I wake up and I think, I don't really want to be a disciple. My feet are so tired and dirty. I cannot even talk to you about my calluses. This tunic thing that I've been wearing is starting to smell funny. These people that I'm stuck running around with are so terrible. They're idiots. They should not be fishing for people or fish. And the people we run across every day, they are so needy. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Help me, help me. Oh my gosh, they never get over it. They always want him to help them with their poor, pathetic lives, and I'm tired. I am so tired of eating fish. But I stay because I need to be here. They need me to be here. We need each other to be here for the transformation of the world. May God walk with each and every one of us as we figure out what discipleship looks like to us in the midst of our flaws and our doubts and the love of God. Amen.